Have a thought this morning. I want to take a reading lesson out of the 14th chapter of John, the Gospel of John, in the 14th chapter, and we're going to touch on a subject here that we've talked about before, but it's one that's never to be exhausted, I suppose, and so. Hopefully, the Lord will be able to show you some things this morning, as He's shown me as I studied this. So, John 14th chapter, starting in the 22nd verse. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And I want to draw your attention back to the 27th verse, where Jesus says, peace I leave with you, but my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And my thought this morning is in the form of a question. That is, peace with God and the world? Peace with God and the world? That's what I want us to think about this morning. I've preached about and touched on peace with God before, and we may mention some of those same things, but I want us to think of those two things together, that question. Peace with God and with the world. Because I think oftentimes we would like to have both. And there are, I'm sure, people out there in the Christian world trying to preach and teach that you can have both. But I think, as we'll see, those two things don't necessarily go together. But we want to talk about that peace that Jesus talks about a little bit. So, first of all, we want to look at what's he talking about? Peace. What does that mean? If we look at the word and define it, what it means is to set at one. To take two things that are not one and put them as one. Specifically, peace with God means to be put at one with God. We can look at it as peace is to be made whole. Something is fractured and then it is made whole. That's really what peace means. To be set at one. Oneness. Wholeness. That's what peace is. Now, peace is something that you find talked about throughout the Scriptures. God describes Himself in the Old Testament as the God of peace. In the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as the Prince of Peace. So, peace is a theme that stretches throughout the Bible. And it is a theme that stretches throughout because we are fundamentally not at peace. When we are born, we are not at oneness with God. We are not at peace with God. Now, Adam was at peace with God. Adam was in oneness with God. And you all have heard me preach about Adam all the time. I always seem to go back. That's where it all starts, in the garden, in Adam. It's very hard to get away from that. But Adam had peace and oneness with God. But because of sin, we lost that wholeness. We lost that oneness with God. And we lost peace with God because of sin. And so the Bible continually sets before us that theme of peace. That is what God is trying to achieve. That's what God wants us to seek after, is peace with Him. And Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, is referred to as the Prince of Peace, the one who brings peace. And so we want to look at that a little bit. Now, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Now, what's he mean by that? Well, again, if we look at that word and what it means, oneness, to be perfectly whole, Jesus is the only one, even more so than Adam, that has ever been completely at one with God. Would you agree with that? Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He said specifically, "I and my Father are one." Now, so Jesus was at complete oneness with God. Complete and perfect and total peace with God. That is what Jesus had when he was in glory as the second person of the Godhead, and that's what he had even after he put on this flesh, this form of a servant, and came down to this earth and walked among men. He still had complete peace with God, total oneness with God. Why? Because he had no sin. Over and above the fact that he had no sin, he perfectly submitted himself unto God. The scripture says that he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and for that reason he has been raised far above all powers and principalities and set at the right hand of God. And so his complete oneness with God is both a function of his likeness to God and his perfect sinlessness, but also it is a factor of that he has earned it by his willing submission unto God, his perfect obedience. And so Jesus, if there's oneness to be had, he has it perfectly. That's what he means by my peace. And see, he offers it to us. The peace, the oneness that he has with God, he offers to us. And that's what we want to talk about a little bit, is Jesus' peace. Again, we said that It's His peace that He has. Everything that we can get through salvation, everything that's offered to us, comes by way of Jesus Christ. He's the author of it all. Doesn't the scripture say He's the author and the finisher of our faith? He's the author and the finisher of the peace which we strive after with God. He is the one that can bring us and does bring us into fellowship with God, because He has complete oneness, complete and total wholeness with God. And He offers that to us. There's a great picture of what that looks like. And again, I've preached on this before, maybe a little bit different context, but you all are familiar with how Jesus was there on the ship on the Sea of Galilee, and the great storm came down. Now, we don't necessarily understand how dangerous this was, but if you study a little bit, and I'm given to understand, the Sea of Galilee actually sets below sea level, several hundred feet below sea level. And going north from the Sea of Galilee up into the ocean, it follows the Jordan River, and there's deep canyons canyons as the elevation goes up to sea level. And so there were times that the wind would come down kind of like a that low sea level, the different pressures and everything would just kind of suck that wind like a vacuum down through these canyons. And it could be peaceful out there on the Sea of Galilee one minute, and these winds would come howling down from the north through the canyons into this low level, and it could just turn up a storm just like this. I mean, we talk about how, you know, weather changes on a dime here in Tennessee, but it really could change on a dime there, and those winds were ferocious. And we're talking about little, you know, pretty small fishing vessels, you know, not much longer than a pew, and maybe as wide as two or three of them, that maybe might have three or four or five people in them. And so their fear of dying was real. People died from these storms that come up there on the Sea of Galilee. And so you can imagine here, all of a sudden, this storm comes in and the wind is howling and the waves are tossing and frothing and the boat is going back and forth and the water's everywhere. And the disciples, they're truly afraid. They're afraid for their life. See, they've got no peace. There's no peace on the water. And what happens? They go and they wake Jesus up. Now, Jesus is sleeping. Why is he sleeping? Because he's got peace. See, he's got peace. He's got nothing to fear. He's at perfect oneness with God. But here are the rest of them out in the midst of this storm, and they don't know what's going to happen. And you know the story. They wake him up, and what does he say? He speaks a word, "Peace, be still." And all of a sudden, that sea is just, I imagine it, just like glass. He imparts his peace, the peace that he had inside, the peace that he had with God that allowed him to sleep through all of this. That peace came out of him and manifested itself by calming everything around him just at his word. He can do the same thing to us. The trouble and affliction that we have when we're lost, and if you've ever been lost here this morning, if you're lost here today, you know what it means to not be at peace. You know what it means to be an enemy of God. You know what it means to be a rebel before God, to have your sins separate you from God. And you've got great trouble and turmoil in your heart. Listen, I know, I was there. I remember what it was like when I was 9 years old, 10 years old, 11 years old before I got saved. I remember those days. They're still vivid in my mind. The lack of peace I had. I was afraid to go to sleep at night. Many times I've told you how I wished that I'd never been born because I knew that if I died, I was going to go to hell. And I despaired of ever being saved. And I thought it would be better if I'd never even lived. At least I wouldn't spend eternity in hell. I had great turmoil inside. And if you've ever been lost, you had the same thing. Maybe it wasn't for as long as I did. Maybe it was just for a night. Maybe you got saved the first time you went to the altar. I hope you did. But you still remember what that trouble was like, that lack of peace. It was that great storm. But Jesus, with just a word, took his peace and he put it into my heart. I remember the night that it happened. When I came up off that altar, all the storm was calm. He gave me peace. And that's what he offers today. But it's his peace. I want you to understand that. So first of all, he offers peace with God. That's the first thing I experienced. No longer was I troubled by my sins that separated me from God. How did he do that? He did it because he dealt with the sin problem. See, sin was what separated me from God. Sin is what separates you from God if you're lost here today. If you're saved, there was a time that sin separated you from God. That was the problem. That's why you didn't have any peace. But see, Jesus offers peace with God because he ends the hostilities. Right? It's like two nations that are at war, right? They're at war, they're hostile, they're fighting. And then, you know, there's peace talks and all these things. But at a certain point, we find peace when there's an end of hostilities, whatever the terms of those are. Well, God offers terms. He offers terms to end the hostility. He said, well, I'm not at war with God. Yes, you are. You're at war with God because you haven't submitted to Him. He is the God of all creation. He's the God who created you. You owe all allegiance unto Him. And sin, the sin in your heart, your rebellious nature, is what separated you from God. And so that's why there's no peace. Just like two nations that are not at peace, you're not at peace with God because there is hostility over the issue of sin. Sin is the issue that has to be dealt with. You know, in any kind of peace negotiation, there's a core issue. And many times, you know, peace diplomats and stuff, they'll get in there and they'll dance around. I'm sure Brother Mike has been peace treaties between nations, but arguing contracts and arguing law is much like that. And don't they get in there? And first of all, you'll talk about all the peripheral issues, right? You want to do, because there's that one core issue that we know if we go straight to that, we're going to have a problem. There's a core issue. There's a lot of peripheral issues, but you've got to deal with the core issue. You might work out everything else, but if there is a core issue that cannot be dealt with, you'll never find peace. And I want to tell you, you can try all these other things with God. Try to clean up your life. Try to go to church more. Try to pray more. Read your Bible. Those are all good things, but I'm telling you, those are peripheral issues. The core issue is sin. What about sin? What about the way that you've offended God? What about your sin nature? What about the fact that you love sin, that you hate righteousness, and that you're a rebel against God? That's the core issue that's causing hostilities. That's the core issue that's keeping you from peace with God. But that's what Jesus solves. He ends the hostilities because He deals with the core issue of sin. How? He takes care of sin. He took all that sin upon Himself when He was crucified on the cross. He paid the sin debt. That's how He's able to end hostilities. And so Jesus brings peace with God. So when He says, "My peace I give to you," the first thing He's talking about, now these disciples were already saved, but He's reminding them, the first thing that I've done is I've given you peace with God. And that happened for me when I was 11 years old back in 1986. If you're saved here, it happened whenever you got saved. But He's given you peace with God because He's dealt with a sin problem. But that's not the only thing that He has given you peace. He gives peace within, inner peace. Now that's linked to peace with God, but it's not the same thing. Isn't that what this world is striving for? Inner peace. You got all kinds of people out there talking about looking for all kinds of different ways to find peace on the inside because they've got all this turmoil. Well, the only way to find peace within is to make peace with God. But they're not exactly the same thing. They're linked together. But the world has all kinds of ways to try to get you to be at peace with yourself. But if they don't involve making peace with God first, then you're not going to get anywhere. That's what I want you to understand. If you try to address the inner peace problem, you realize that you're in turmoil on the inside, something's not right on the inside, you can try every other thing to fix. You can try to fix this thing in your life, that thing in your life, deal with your emotional problems, deal with your psychological problems, deal with your parent issues, abandonment issues, all these different things. Maybe you got substance abuse problems, maybe you got, I don't know, there's all kinds of different things, and you can try to deal with those to find peace, but that's not going to get you anywhere. Until you make peace with God, you've got no hope of having peace with yourself. But just because you have peace with God doesn't mean that you have peace with yourself. I know a lot of Christians that are still in turmoil. I spent years in turmoil, inner turmoil. Why? Because I was still rebelling against God. I was saved, but I still wanted to do things my way. Living a backslider's life will keep you at odds with yourself. You've still got peace with God, but I want to tell you, the backslider's life, there's no inner peace. There's no inner peace about it. There's still peace with God, but you don't have peace with yourself until you get lined up with God. But Jesus offers that. He says, I offer you. My peace includes peace with yourself. How? What does He say? He said, He that loveth me will keep my commandments. He said, if you love me, if you have taken my peace upon you, if you want to maintain that peace, not only, now the peace with God is once and forever. We believe in once saved, always saved. I believe in eternal security. And once I got peace with God, when I was 11 years old, that peace and hostility with God is never going to come be an issue again. But I sure have gone through periods of my life when I didn't have peace with myself. And it was always come back to because I was rebelling against God. That's why Jesus said, if you love me, if you've gotten peace from me with God, why don't you just go ahead and keep my sayings, keep my commandments, keep living the way you ought to be living, serving me, and you'll have peace with yourself. So part of what Jesus offers is not only peace with God, but peace with yourself. And I want to tell you, that's what the world is looking for. Many of them don't know they need peace with God, but they sure do know they need peace with themselves. They know that something's wrong. We can see people, they've got what looks like they've got everything going for them. They've got money, they've got careers, they've got fame, they've got fortune. But we can see as their lives unfold that they don't have any inner peace. They don't have any inner peace. Everybody wants that. Now, see, now if we can link and what God has tried to do through the Scriptures, and part of our job as Christians as we evangelize and tell people is we have to link that peace with yourself and establish that link in people's minds to peace with God. That the first, that until you get that fixed, you're never going to have peace with yourself. But once you get peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, then you can begin to get the rest of the peace that Jesus offers. Peace with yourself. Now, the third thing that is an element of the peace that Jesus gives us is peace with each other. Peace with each other. Now, there's a scripture over in, I think it's the 11th chapter of Isaiah, that talks about the lion laying down with the lamb and the, and that's a picture. Now, many people believe that that is going to come to pass at some later time during a millennial reign, and that there's actually literally going to be lions laying down with lambs, and there's literally going to be children playing on the over the holes where snakes live. And I don't necessarily believe that. If you do, that's fine. But what I believe is Isaiah's given us a picture. What's he given us a picture? He's given us a picture of a time when things that are naturally hostile to one another, lions and lambs are hostile to one another, aren't they? There's not peace between lions and lambs. There's not peace between children and adders. At least there shouldn't be. All right. Those are things that are naturally opposed and at war with one another. He's given us a picture of a time when there will be peace between those hostilities will cease. Now, we've got to, now to get a full understanding of what Jesus is offering here when he talks about peace with each other, we have to understand a little bit more about the ancient world. See, it's not like the world that we live in today. In that ancient world, was divided by nationality. And I don't mean nationality like I'm an American. I mean nationality by ethnicity, language, people that looked like you. And people that didn't look like you were your enemy. People that didn't speak the language that you spoke were your enemy. The Romans were fighting the Persians, and the Persians were fighting the Babylonians. They were fighting. Everybody was divided by their language and their ethnicity. And that goes all the way back to Babel. It started right there, didn't it? When God came down and said, first of all, men aren't doing what I told them to do, which was spread out and repopulate the whole earth. They're gathering there on the plains of Shinar, and they're trying to build this great tower to come all the way up to heaven. And so he came down and confused the languages. He spread people out. How did that spread people out? Well, all of a sudden, people that couldn't speak the same language, couldn't talk to one another, became hostile to one another, and they began to spread out because they didn't want to be next. And that maintained all the way down. The Jews were constantly at war with the Gentiles, and the Gentiles constantly with the Jews. The Jews didn't like the Samaritans. The Samaritans didn't like the Jews. And all over the world, there was natural animosity between people groups. But now when Jesus came along, when Christianity came along, listen to what Paul said. He said that Jesus broke down the middle wall of partition. The middle wall of partition. He was talking about that partition that separated Jew from Gentile. That was a representation. That middle wall of partition there in the temple that Paul had reference to was a representation of the hostility, the natural war between people that were different, between Jews and Gentiles, but not just between that, but all the different people in the Gentile world against one another. And they were all enemies one to another based upon their nationality, their ethnicity, their language group. And that's the way the world was. But Jesus broke that down. And later, Paul said in another place, he said, there's no more Jew. There's no Greek. There's no bond. There's no free. There's not even male and female. Now, did he say that those distinctions went away? Well, of course they didn't go away. Obviously, we still have males and females. But what he means is there's no difference in the kingdom. There does not need to be animosity between Jews and Gentiles, between blacks and whites, between Chinese and South Americans or whoever, between men and women. In the kingdom of God. See, in the kingdom of God, we can be at peace with one another. That's what I believe Isaiah was talking about there in the 11th chapter. He said, Christ come to bring peace where there was hostility. There was hostility between different peoples. They had different gods, they had different languages, they had different customs, and they were at war with one another. But in the kingdom of God, in Christ, we can have fellowship one with another, can't we? We don't have to be enemies anymore. We can be at peace with one another. Now, I want to think now I said that ancient world was a whole lot different than the world that we live in. Now, why do you think that we live in the world that we live in? We live in a world, there's still plenty of problems in the world, no doubt. There's still plenty of problems between different races and different ethnicities and different language groups. But by and large, listen, there is a very small chance. Most of you in this room will never see personal violence, interpersonal violence up close. You just won't. Most of the people in this world will never see, even down to having a fist fight. Most people in the West will never experience interpersonal violence. Even though you see all the stuff on the news, they just won't see it. Now, that wasn't the way it was in Jesus' time. Everybody was well acquainted with interpersonal violence between men and men. They saw it all the time, death and destruction and killing. You might see it on the news, but we don't see it up close and personal. Why is that? That's because of how much the kingdom of God has overtaken that old world. Now, it's not perfect, and there's a lot of things left, but I want you to see the very fact that we live in a world where most of us will live from cradle to grave and never truly experience personal violence is a testimony that God brought peace to people, between people, even in a world that's largely ignored Him. The momentum of Christianity has swept away a lot of that natural war and violence that used to be. Now, we're never going to see perfect peace. There's always going to be wars and rumors of wars. Why? Because this thing we're talking about, peace between one another, is only had in the kingdom. It's only had in the kingdom. We can only have it here in a church, in a place where we all acknowledge Jesus Christ as Savior. And even then, we can only do it when we're in the Spirit. When we put aside our own pride, when we put aside our own petty things, and we all set Jesus before us, and we all look at Jesus, then the distinctions between us melt away, and we truly have peace one with another. Now, we're not going to find it in this world, anywhere else, until Jesus returns. But see, then there'll be perfect peace, because then all those that are enemies of God are going to be cast away. They're going to be cast in the lake of fire, and the only ones left in the new heaven and the new earth are going to be children of God, those that recognize Him as King, and all the nations and all the tongues. That's what it talks about. All those phrases in the New Testament, we have to understand how radical they were when all the New Testament writers were talking about, and every nation and kindred and tongue and people, he's talking about, these were all natural enemies to one another, but they're going to be gathered together, all worshiping Jesus together. See, He gives us the opportunity to have peace with one another in His kingdom. We don't have to be at war in this world. We don't have to be at war with one another. We don't have to have all of this animosity. We can have peace with one another. That's part of what Jesus offers, is peace. So He offers peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace with each other. But now I want you to understand what peace... Now there's some things that don't go along with this peace. The peace that Jesus offers is not perfect tranquility. It is not perfect tranquility. If you're looking for perfect tranquility, you're looking in the wrong place. Because that's not what Jesus offered. Now what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, He doesn't mean physical peace. I'm talking about this body. We're still going to suffer sickness and privation, sometimes persecution, and yes, eventually death. All right? So he didn't bring, he didn't come to give us peace in this body, in this life. Now he has promised us in the next we will have peace in this body. So peace does not mean that we won't suffer sickness, that we won't suffer privation sometimes. Listen, Paul said he was naked and hungry, he was shipwrecked, he was doing all kinds, he didn't have peace in his body, did he? All those other apostles, the very men that he was speaking to, he was looking them in the eye when he said, I give my peace, and every one of them except John died a martyr's death. So he wasn't talking about physical peace. So if we're looking for that in this world, we're looking in the wrong place. That's not what Jesus said he was going to give us. We're still going to suffer those things. Now, he'll help us through it. He'll help us to suffer them, but we're still going to suffer those physical things in this life. But another thing that he did not come to bring us is emotional peace. Now, this is where we get tied up in knots, I think, as Christians. We don't like being in an emotional turmoil. But emotional turmoil is different than spiritual turmoil. And I want to give you some examples. You say, well, no, I'm not sure, preacher. I think God wants me to have emotional peace. Well, does he? Does he? What about Job? Did Job have very much emotional peace when he lost everything? Children died, lost everything he had. The boils sprung up on his body. He was sitting on a dung heap. His friends came to comfort him, and they sat there for a week and never even said a word. Now that man was despondent. I'm telling you, he didn't have much emotional peace. But he had peace with God, didn't he? He had peace within himself because he could still say that, he still said that even when I'm in the grave, even after the skin worms have eaten me, with these eyes I shall see my Redeemer. See, he still had peace within. But he was in some emotional turmoil, I think. What about Jacob? You know, I think about Jacob. Now, Jacob brought a lot of problems on himself. But, you know, he had four wives. They were always at each other's throats. He had all of his sons sold one son into slavery, then come back and lied to him. And he thought for several years that he was dead. He had two other sons that snuck into a city and murdered a whole city full of people. You can read about that. He had another son that slept with one of his other wives. Listen, he had a lot of turmoil, emotional turmoil. You think he had a lot of emotional peace? You think that he didn't have trials and tribulations emotionally? He wasn't up and down. He didn't have pressures of life that were crushing him down every day? Sure he did. Sure he did. That wasn't the peace that he was talking about. Jesus himself didn't have a lot of emotional peace, did he? He said, well, I'm not sure about that, preacher. Well, go read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. It says that he is a man of sorrow, well acquainted with grief. Jesus, perfect peace with God, perfect oneness with God, yet he had pressures of life upon him. He had to get away from everything sometimes and pray all night with the Father to gather emotional strength because he was a man of sorrow, well appointed with grief. You think we're not going to have emotional sorrows, emotional griefs, the pressures of life? Listen, God didn't say the peace that Jesus offers is not that we're just going to be on a mountaintop all the time shouting down the house saying, I don't have a care in the world. No, we're going to have pressures of life upon us. Jesus had a lot of pressure, didn't he? He had to go around. He had 3.5 years of public ministry. He had a lot to get done in that amount of time. He was always coming. He was always going somewhere. He was so caught up in the things that God had for him to do at one point that he was losing weight. They thought he was getting sick. They said, Master, you need to eat. You're beside yourself. He said, I have meat that you know not of. He had a lot of pressure on him. He would try to get away to rest. He had a body just like us. He needed rest. And people would come follow him. And he would put aside what his body needed. And he would give more of himself to the people. You think, yeah, he was a man of sorrow, well acquainted with grief. So the peace that Jesus offers us is not that we're going to just, the pressures of life aren't going to bother us. I'm not going to have a care in the world. This, that, job, parents, children, responsibilities, none of it's going to bother me. Just going to roll like water off my back. That's nonsense. That's not what he offered. It didn't just roll right off of Jesus' back. They didn't roll off Job's back. They didn't roll off Jacob's back. We could go through a whole list of the saints that had to deal with those things of life. So So he didn't come to give us physical peace, and he didn't come to give us emotional peace, but he did come to give us peace with God, peace within, and peace with each other in the Spirit and in the kingdom. But let's not get that confused with the things that he didn't come to give us. Always remember, Jesus was a man of sorrow, well acquainted with grief. But he also, not only peace with God, he'll give us peace in this world. In this world. But now it's not going to look like what we might think it's going to look like. It's not going to look like what we want it to look like. And it sure ain't going to look like what those health, wealth, and prosperity gospel people are telling you it's going to look like. The world says that peace in this world comes from ease. When we talk about peace and quiet. What do you think when you think about peace and quiet? Oh, I'm just, you know, in the backyard, swinging a hammock, got a lemonade in my hand. You know, I'm just at ease. That's what we think of in peace. That's what the world thinks of is peace, being at ease. But that's not what Jesus said peace is. Jesus said that peace in this world is struggle. It's struggle what? It's struggle with the flesh. It's struggle with self-will. It's struggle against the devil. Listen, the peace that we have is in the struggle. I heard a preacher one time, I probably maybe said this here before. He said, if you don't wake up in the morning with the devil staring you in the face, it's because he's already in the bed next to you. See, the struggle is real, and the struggle is part of the peace of the Christian life. We're not going to be at ease. Again, go back and look at the apostles. They weren't at ease. Paul wasn't at ease. There was constant struggle. Paul had that thorn in his side, whatever it was, and he even prayed for it to be relieved. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, I'm not going to take that struggle out of your life. Paul, it's good for you. That was essentially what he meant. He said, it's good for you. It's something you need so that you can stay where you need to stay. The struggle is necessary for our peace with God, for our peace within. It's not a life of ease. The world says that peace is about ease. Jesus says peace is about continuing the struggle against sin, against this flesh, against the devil, against all the things in the world that are pressing against us. How do you know you're alive in God? Because you're struggling. How do you know that the devil's not already in the bed with you? Because he's staring at you in the face every morning. Well, when the devil disappears, you don't say anything, I got this licked. That's when you need to be worried, because you're not struggling anymore. If you're not struggling anymore, then the devil's got you right where he wants you. You're at ease in Zion. Read that scripture about those that say they're at ease in Zion. It's not good. God didn't have anything good to say about being at ease in Zion. So it's not ease, it's struggle. The world says that peace comes through compromise. Again, if you talk about two nations are at war, right? When they come to the table, they negotiate. Two parties at law have a contract problem. They come, and what do? They compromise. Nobody gets everything that they want. Everybody gets up a little bit, but everybody walks away, you know, not 100% satisfied, but, you know, satisfied enough. Compromise. The world says you'll find peace if you just compromise. If you just compromise on this, compromise on that. Don't take everything so seriously. Don't hold such a hard line. Don't make it have to be this way. If you just compromise, go along to get along, then you'll find some peace. That's what the world says. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said that peace is in conflict. Conflict. Now, I'm not talking about war. I'm talking about conflict with what? With sin. What did Paul say? He said, we wrestle. That's another word for conflict. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. He's talking about it's a spiritual conflict. God makes no provision, and Jesus made no provision for compromise with the system of the world, for compromise with sin. God never made provision for compromise. He didn't tell Israel to go in there and compromise with the Canaanites. He said, wipe them out. He said, don't do the things that they do. Don't marry their women. Don't marry their sons. Don't worship their gods. Stay away from them. Make no compromise. And when they, what happened? They went in there and they compromised. They didn't put everybody to the sword. They put some of them, just made them slaves. And God said, all right, fine. But they're going to be a thorn in your side. You thought you could get peace through compromise. God said, I was going to give you peace if you would have maintained the struggle. If you would have held the standards.
It come through conflict. See, this world says you'll find peace through compromise, and God said, no, you'll find peace through conflict.
Conflict against sin. I want to be clear. I'm not talking about conflict with people. I'm not talking about conflict with government. I'm not talking about that kind of conflict. I'm talking about not making any compromises with sin and with the system of the world. And for those that are the enemies of God, we're not going to make any compromises on those things. We're going to stand and we're going to say sin is sin. It was sin 500 years ago. It was sin 100 years ago. And regardless of what the world says, today it's still sin, and we're not going to compromise with it. We're not going to make you feel good about it. We're not going to let our children think it's all right. We're not going to let our grandchildren think it's all right. We're going to hold the line. And you don't have to go seek conflict. If you just hold the line, the conflict will come to you. It'll come to you. God never said go out and make war with other people, but He did say if you hold the line, it'll come to you. Over there, I believe it's in Philippians. He says, and all those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you just hold the line, refuse to compromise, refuse to seek peace the way that the world says you can seek peace, then there'll be conflict. But see, that's the way God says you'll have peace in the world. In the world. Gain. The world says peace is found through gain. The more you get, the more peace you'll have. Jesus said peace is found through sacrifice. Didn't He say in one place, He said, everyone who loses their life shall gain it, but him that gains his life shall lose it. He said, if you're willing to sacrifice what you have for me, for my kingdom, you'll gain much more. You'll gain much more. And so the way to find peace in this world for a child of God is not to seek gain, but to sacrifice. To sacrifice for God. To sacrifice for His work. To sacrifice for our neighbor. To sacrifice for those that are in need of our help. Whatever it might be. To sacrifice, to give. The world says gain peace through gain. God says get peace through sacrifice. And finally, the world says that peace is found through rule. If you could just be in charge. You know, when I was a kid, when I was a teenager particularly, I remember, boy, when I just get out of my dad's house and I can be the ruler of my own life, when I can do what I want to do and I don't have to listen to anybody else, boy, I'll have peace then. See, I was always in inner turmoil, right? Because I was always doing stuff that was wrong. I just didn't always get caught. There was always something hanging over my head. You ever live like that when you were a kid? Was there always something hanging over your head? Something that the shoe just hadn't dropped yet. And I thought, boy, when I get out of his house and I just live on my own, there won't ever be a shoe to drop. I won't be answerable to anybody. I won't owe anybody anything. And boy, I'll just have peace then. I'll be able to sleep like a baby. So that's what I thought. That's what the world says. If you just rule, if you rule your own life, rule people, if you're in charge, if you have rule, you'll have peace. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Jesus said, if you really want peace, submit and obey. Submit and obey to find peace. And you know, that works out in this life, and there's other people that have figured that out. You know, in the old time, back in Jesus' day, in these Roman times, there were people, do you know, that sold themselves into slavery? In Rome, yeah, they did. Sometimes they had too many debts to pay. They couldn't take care of their family. Too many pressures of life. They would sell themselves into slavery. Sometimes to get rid of the debts. But there was others that would sell themselves into slavery. And then they just decided to stay there. Why? Well, because they figured out that... Now, this is not a plug for slavery. I'm just saying this is about the psyche. This is about people. Right? Because once you sold yourself into slavery, all the cares of life were gone, wasn't it? All you had to do, especially if you had a master that was decent, if they fed you and clothed you, well, all of the cares of life would just melt away. There's people that did that. Why? Because they figured out that having freedom, having rule, didn't give them the peace that they thought that it would. You know, I've known a lot of Marines in my day. I did some combat deployments. I knew guys that did 6, 8, 10 combat deployments and just over. They just constantly, they're volunteering to go. Why? Because, well, many of them, they had problems in their life when they were back home. Their marriage was falling apart. Finances were, you know, finances were a problem. They had substance, whatever it was. But when they were over there, see, somebody else was telling them what to do that gave them focus. They found some peace there that they didn't have back here when they were trying to rule their lives. One of the reasons I went into the military when I did is because I realized I wasn't doing, I got out of my dad's house and I was ruling everything and I was running my life in a ditch, and I realized that being in charge of everything, I needed somebody to tell me when to get up in the morning. I needed somebody to tell me when to do this, when to go eat. That gave me more peace than trying to figure it out for myself. Now, along the way, I learned how to rule myself a little bit better, but Jesus said, having to rule is not the way that you have peace. The way that you have peace is if you serve me. If you give it all over to me, if you give it all over to me and you just worry about trust and obey, that's how you have peace in this life. Give it over to God, serve Him, submit and obey. So the world says ease. Jesus says struggle. The world says compromise. Jesus says conflict. The world says gain. Jesus says sacrifice. The world says rule. Jesus says submit and obey. That's how you have peace in this world. So the peace that Jesus offers here, He says, my peace that I live with you is peace with God, it's peace with ourselves, and it's peace with each other. And we can have peace in the world as well if we will continue to struggle, continue the conflict against sin, sacrifice rather than try to gain, and submit and obey to Him instead of trying to rule our own lives. That's how we have peace in the world. But finally, last thing, I've started this out with a question. Can we have peace with God and with the world? I want to point you to probably just flip the page. If you look over at John chapter 16, verse 33, it says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus' answer to the question is, you can have my peace, but you will not have peace with the world. Now, I said you can have peace in the world, but not peace with the world. There is a distinction. Because Jesus said, you'll have my peace, but in this world you'll have tribulation. That's just another way of saying you won't have peace with the world. Because I've just mentioned all the things that the world says you need to do. You need to try to be at ease. You need to compromise. You need to gain. You need to rule. When you reject that, when you reject the world system, they'll hate you for it. They'll hate you for it. That's what Jesus said. Isn't that why they hated Jesus? Because He rejected the world system. And they hated Him for it. He said, if they've hated me, they'll hate you. And so, you don't have to go look for conflict in the world. The conflict is going to come. But if you look for peace in the world, if you look for peace with the world, you're going to sacrifice peace with God. Because Jesus said, you can have my peace, but in the world you'll have tribulation. Conversely, if you seek peace with the world, if you seek to be at peace with the world and the world system, you will not have the peace that Jesus offers. Now, if you're saved, you'll still be saved. You'll have that peace with God. But you won't have peace in your life. You won't have peace with other people. You won't have peace in the world because you're trying to get peace with the world. And you can't have those two things together. So my answer to the question is peace with God and with the world? Jesus says no. No, if you want peace with God, you have to accept that you will not have peace with the world. Why? Because He said we're in the world, but not of the world. The world system defined peace is a lie. But they hold on to it tightly, and they'll hate anybody that says otherwise. They hated Jesus, and they'll continue to hate us. But listen, we can have peace. Take the peace that Jesus offers. If you're not saved here today, the first thing you need is peace with God. If you've been saved, I encourage you, do you have peace with yourself? Do you have inner peace? If you don't, you need to look at why. Are you submitting to God or are you running from God? If you'll submit to God, you'll have peace with Him. And in Him, you can have peace with your neighbors. You can have peace with people around you. You could definitely ought to be having peace with the rest of God's children.
and stop trying to find peace in the world the way that the world says. Remember, you need to continue the struggle. Make sure that the devil's staring you in the face and not in the bed next to you. Make sure that you're holding the line against sin, that you're not seeking compromise where God says there is no compromise. Don't try to gain in this world, but look at ways that you can sacrifice to God and to His work and to other people. Don't try to rule your life, but submit your life to God. And those are the ways that you'll find peace. And don't go looking for physical peace. Don't say, well, God, why is this thing afflicted me? Well, why did it afflict Job? Why did it afflict Jacob? Why did it afflict Jesus? Say, Lord, I'm dealing with so much sorrow and grief in my life. I got things pressing down on me. I got responsibilities. I got this and that and all these other things. Lord, I wish it would just roll off my back. Listen, He'll help you deal with it, but He's not going to take it away. Remember, Jesus was a man of grief and well acquainted with sorrow. And so we can expect to be as well. That's not the peace that He offers. But He'll offer us inner peace and peace with God. But we won't have peace with the world. As soon as you start looking for peace with the world outside of these doors, that peace that Jesus offers is going to slip right through our fingers. So what do we want? What do we really want? Do we want peace with the world? Or do we want peace with God? I'm afraid that too much of Christianity is trying to sell us both, and it's a lie. God says it's a lie. You got to choose. Do you want peace with God, or do you want peace with the world? I'll offer you, I've tried to get peace with the world, and it just didn't get me anywhere. It didn't get me anywhere. But once I started to submit and try to find peace with God, the things in the world started working themselves out. They started working themselves out. And that's what I would offer to you today. Seek peace with God and not the world. Amen. I appreciate you listening to me. Brother Dyer, if we can get a song.